Yeah, we're in a series called The Big S, and we are talking about stewardship because God's word is very clear on this issue, that you and I are not owners of anything. We're managers. We're managing everything that he's given to us, but he's the owner. And the reason that this is such a big deal is because it literally affects everything you do in your life. And when you realize what your position is, you'll be able to handle things in a more appropriate way. And we've learned through this series that the way that it's always appropriate is always to put God first, because his ways are higher than our ways. His ways work better than the world's ways. He's God and we're not. He's not only owns everything, he's created everything. And so what we've said during out the series is that there's really two ways to go about life. There's one way where you act like you're the owner because you think you are. And we've all heard those things, like, I believe I'm a self-made man. I've turned out pretty good. The world talks about climbing the ladder of success, and many of us work at that very hard because we get sucked in. We've said throughout this series that the world promises a lot, but it never really delivers what it promises. We've also said that you can't climb the world's way and God's way at the same time. Matter of fact, I have to turn my back on God's way to go the world's way. I can't have it both ways. But we live in America. And even those of us that are followers of Christ that really do have good hearts, we really have hearts that want to follow God. And so what we really do want to do is this, but the world is always there. And we live in the world and we get bombarded by the world's messages every single day, thousands of times a day. And we really want to do this, but we kind of really want to do this. And we kind of get trapped into this. We do this for a while and then we go back over to here. Bro, some of you are still scared by this. And more scared of me doing this is I pray that we would get a little God kind of fear that this isn't the way to live. This doesn't honor God. The Bible talks about, I wish you were either cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, it makes me want to spit you out of my mouth. There's only two things in the middle of a road, yellow lines and dead skunks. You ever recognize that? We can't have it both ways. But we're tempted to do things both ways. And we can't do it. Right? I know. Get down off those ladders. But can I ask you, in all honesty, how are you really living? Because I can talk that better than I walk that. And so can you. You may say, I don't agree with that. Well, you cannot agree. It doesn't change the truth of what God's word says. So in week one, we laid the foundation of this whole manager versus owner thing, that we're stewards, we're managers, according to God, who's the owner of everything. He's the owner. I'm not an owner. Last week, we talked about the fact that God tells us how to invest. And I'm not talking 401k and all that, which God is all for that, right? Like, we need to work at taking care of ourselves with some that God blesses us with. But he also says, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where rust and moth destroys, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's two different paths. And you can't take it with you. Nobody can, but you can send it ahead. And that's what he's asking us to do by investing in his people, his work, the people that are going to go to heaven. God and people are the only things that will list that will last forever. I want to tell you, I was in a restaurant recently when I glanced over and I noticed a family of four sitting at a table, kind of like one of those picturesque families, right? Mom and dad, a boy and a girl, and each person's head was bowed, which kind of touched my heart because I'm thinking, oh, that's very cool. It's not often that you see a family pray together. And they're praying together before their food arrives. And so it just kind of made me smile. And then I went on looking at the menu or whatever I did. And then I glanced up and I noticed they were still praying. And then I noticed they weren't praying. You see, every one of those four were on their own phone. They were all involved in their own conversation or their own media look or whatever they were doing on their phone. And no one was talking to each other. And I couldn't help but be reminded, because I've been at way more funerals than I ever want to admit, that there's going to be a day where someone in that family is not going to be around that table, and the rest of them are going to wish for one more day to sit down around a table with someone they love and have a conversation. I want to talk to you today about being a steward of your time, because here's what I know that we all have. Every single one of us listening to my voice has 1,440 minutes a day. And can I tell you, as long as your heart keeps beating, you're going to spend all 1,440 today. And you're going to spend all 1,440 tomorrow and the next day until you don't have a day anymore. Here's what we all have in common. Every single one of us will use up every minute of every day that we've been given by God. Here's the other thing we have in common. There's not a person hearing my voice that knows when your time is up. But it won't be a second late. So in the meantime, God, who's given me my time, and God, who's given you your time, and nobody knows how much of it we have, he says we're to be stewards of that time. We're to be managers of the time that God has given us. And again, I ask you, do you think manager of your time, or do you think I own it? You ever said things like, you know what, I'm just wasting time. Just putting in my time. No, you're spending your time, or you're investing your time. And if I'm just spending my time, I'm going the world's way. If I think about how am I going to invest my time for what really matters, because I've only been given so much time on this earth, I want to do everything I can for my owner that will bring honor and glory to him. My time is just not about me. My wife helped me learn this lesson probably 15 or so years ago. She noticed me after service talking to people like I do. I want to be approachable. I love people. I want to interact with people afterwards. And so I stand out and just talk to people as they go out. And a lot of times there might be a line of people, right? Not that I'm that good. I'm not quite sure about what that means. But anyway, it happens. And my wife sat me down one day when I got home. I get these conversations quite regularly. I know you, that's hard for you to believe, but after I do this a couple of times, we have this debriefing at home. Well, anyway, my wife said to me, and I'll never forget this, she said, I noticed that sometimes when people are talking to you, that you're not really with them, you're looking past them to who else is coming up. And I thought, wow, it can be a little awkward, right? And you feel like, how long am I going to talk to this person? There's other people there, and so I tend to glance over. And I recognized something that day, because it was similar to what she said before. Like, I know the church means a lot to you, and you're always thinking about that, but when you're with me and with your family, can you really just be with us? Like, you're here, but you're not here sometimes. You following me? If you would, take out your note sheets. I want you to write something down that I learned, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm perfect still at it today, but I've never forgotten this lesson, and I work very, very hard at this. Wherever you are, be all there. Can I tell you, this is like a bonus for today before I get into the real points, but wherever you are, be all there. That's what I learned. I try to be where I am, which sounds kind of weird, but I want to be all there. I don't want to be looking past something else. I don't want to be looking for another person or another situation or what I've got going on later on. I want to be all there when I'm there. And it's changed how I process. It's changed my relationships. It's improved in my life. And I pray that it will improve in yours if you can relate to that. I always have a long list of to-dos. Don't you? That our minds get cluttered. And we sometimes, because our minds are so cluttered with what's coming up, we overlook what's right in front of us in that time frame. And if we're being honest, being we're talking about this, some of you, as I'm talking right now, your thoughts have already moved to something else. Because you're like, I got it, move on, and you've moved on. Can we just agree that in our culture today, it's normal to be distracted? We can be with people that we love and really not be with the people that we love. And it happens all the time. Time matters. I've never heard a person sob at a funeral because they wished their deceased loved one would have spent more time at work, or they'd have built one more thing. But what people wish for is one more day to just be with them. And yet when we're with them, sometimes we're not all there. We could probably just end it and go home early today. That might be enough for some of us. But I've got more, so let's just do that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives us a bit of a warning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. God knew what we're like. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, not as people that follows the world's way that promises a lot and never really delivers, but as person that's wise, that gets their wisdom from God, that understands the value of God's word and doing life his way, because you can't do both. You got to choose. You can only go up so far before you really have to choose. And he said, I want you to choose to be wise, to leverage that advice when you make decisions. I want you to use wisdom when you use your time. Are you investing it or are you just spending it? I want you not to act like you don't know, but I want you to live as people that have been informed. So what does the Bible say about our time management? As stewards of our time, what does God's word, which is wisdom, what does he have to say? Let's take a look. How are you stewarding your time? Let me tell you what the Bible says as a steward. Live daily with eternity in mind. One of the things that you and I need to do to truly live with wisdom in the area of our time management is we've got to think like stewards, not owners, and we've got to live with eternity in mind. If you wake up every day and all you think about is what this life is going to give you, you're going to miss out on being wise. Because this life can be gone like this, and it will be one day. You're going to spend all your time, and so am I. But then eternity awaits, which is why he told us don't just store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but I want you to be wise and store up treasures in heaven, because you're going to spend a lot more time there if you go, if you've made the wise decision while you're here on earth and trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you get credit for his perfection because he's paid for your imperfections. Wise person would make that decision, right? But no one knows how many days. Only God, the giver of your time, the owner, knows how many days. So the Bible continually tells us to make the most of our time. To use our time, our talent, and our resources with eternity in mind. To not get so wrapped up into living the life that you forget the purpose of it. Don't you recognize how easy it is to get caught up in life and we forget at times that this isn't all there is? The world is so flashy and so noisy and so crowded so many times that we just kind of lose track until something tragic happens, and then we're all reminded how quick life can disappear. There's no doubt the world puts its priorities on accumulating things. Can anybody say Black Friday? But what about that family of four sitting around, everybody buried in their own phone? Am I saying your phones are evil? No. But you can get in such a habit that you forget what really matters, what the priorities really should be. C.S. Lewis, I found this very interesting on the investing versus spending your time. C.S. Lewis understood God's plan for Christians and time management, and here's what he said. Just listen to this quote. If you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world or just those who thought most of the next world. That's wisdom. The people that do the most that's really going to last for eternity are the people that have one eye here and one eye on eternity. That's how we live. That's how we invest our time, our resources, our talents, because that's truth and that's wisdom. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17. This is in a different translation. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To be an investor of your time. To invest time in what really matters, because not everything matters. Not everything has equal value. Look at Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow where? In wisdom. That we might live like we're wise. The world forgets how brief life is. And listen, life doesn't just end when you're 90 or 80 or 70 or 60. Sometimes it happens when people are 10 or 5 or 15 or 20 or 25. Somebody's going to head to work this week and never come home. Do you realize that? It happens. And wise people, God says, takes a page out of his book and said, I'm going to live like that, with no regrets, investing in that which really matters. So what does the Bible say about time management? I need to live daily with eternity in mind. Number two, if you're taking notes, don't procrastinate. We have any procrastinators here? Yeah, don't point if that's not you, just, yeah. Isn't it interesting? I think we all have that ability to put things off. A wise person wouldn't put off the important things, right? What's interesting is what we deem as important. But what my thought is, as a manager instead of an owner, is do I deem important what God, my owner, deems to be important? If my two lists match, then I'm headed down the right path, the right ladder. But if my values match the world's and don't match up with God's, listen, and I'm putting priorities on things that really aren't and shouldn't be priorities, then I'm not living as a wise person. God speaks through the Bible, right? He speaks through prayer. His Holy Spirit that lives inside of all of us as believers. But often I procrastinate. My guess is often you procrastinate. Remember just a few weeks ago, I did a message where we said there's a gap between our good intentions and our actions. And the way that we close the gap is by three simple steps. If you think something good, you're going to say it. You need to dig your note sheets back out. I didn't think you'd ever forget that. If we're going to think something good, listen, we're going to say it. Why would you put off saying something? If you love someone, text them. If you love someone, call them on the phone and tell them. If you think about it but you don't say it, they don't get anything from it. Why would you procrastinate that? And then when they're standing over their dead body in a box, then you want to be able to say it. But we procrastinate these important things. So if you think something good, say it. We said if you think something special, do it. Hey, you know what? I ought to go and visit someone today. Go do it. Hey, so-and-so's been on their mind. We've been saying, yeah, you probably said that just this weekend with some people. We got to get together more often. Do it. Some of you are saying, I hope I never see them again. I'm glad they're going home. I get it. But if you think something good, listen, don't procrastinate. Do it. And if you want something different, what did we say? Be it. You want something different, be it. Don't procrastinate. You know what? Yeah, next year is going to be the year I really get in shape. Next year is going to be the way I really spend time daily in God's word. Don't procrastinate doing the wise thing. Just don't. Time is running out. People often ask me, when do you think Jesus is coming? Jesus has got to come back pretty soon, they're saying. I mean, just look at our world. And I have no clue. Even the Son of God, according to the Bible, doesn't know. So don't ask me. I don't know, but I can tell you this. It's one day closer than it was yesterday. I'm one day closer to death, and so are you today than we were yesterday. That's something we all have in common. So let's use our time wisely, not as the unwise. Look at Proverbs 27, chapter, the first verse. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. Does that mean we should never plan for tomorrow? No, no, of course you got to plan. But what he's saying is still don't miss the moment that you're in. Don't miss the day that you're in because you're looking over your shoulder to the next day. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town and we're going to stay there a year and we're going to do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. What's he saying? Live wise. Don't overlook how precious time is. Be there, wherever you are, be all there. When you're with people that you love, be there. Don't procrastinate. If you think something good, say it. If you think something good to do, do it. If you want to see good change, then be it. Number three, the third thing that God says about time management is we need to learn to say yes and no. Can we just agree we all know how to say yes and no, but sometimes we fight with ourselves because we say yes to things we wish we'd have said no to, and vice versa? You know how it works, right? All the pressures of life, what people expect, all these things. We got all these reasons, but are we saying yes to the right things? Are we saying no to the right things? Can I tell you this? The more you and I understand our role as managers, the more easy it is to say yes to the things that matter and no to the things that don't matter as much. And by the way, just because you say no to things doesn't mean they're sinful and they're ugly and they're bad. It's just so I say no to some things so I can get to the best things. Well, how do I know the best things over the things that aren't so bad? Because I'm going to learn from God's wisdom of what really makes a difference and what doesn't, what's really important, what's not so important. One of the things I've wrestled with over the last 15 years since my wife did that is I'm trying to keep people ahead of projects. Nobody's ever stood over the casket of a loved one and said, I wish we'd have done a couple more projects. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is far from the evil one. One of the ways that we become better time managers is by evaluating the decisions that we make based on what really matters and what doesn't. With one eye on eternity of what's really going to matter long-term compared to short-term. I saw some statistics recently that someone posted. This was from someone's message that had done a bunch of research on this, and it really stopped me in my tracks. Here's what it said. And let me just preface this with saying, I absolutely love sports. I think I only went to school for two reasons, to play sports and my mama made me. But I love sports. Still do to this day, not just to watch them, but to play them. And that was my thing. I love competition. I don't like losing, but I love competition. And so I preface all this to let you know that, and this is a battle that I've wrestled with for years. But listen to these stats through the lens of being a manager and in light of eternity and what really matters. If a mom comes to faith in Jesus, moms, if the mom of the home gives her heart and life to Jesus, there's a 17% chance that her kids will also become followers of Jesus. 17 out of 100. If a dad comes to follow Jesus, there's a 93% chance his family will follow Jesus. You following me? Can I speak to dads just for a second? Dads, I want you to understand the huge, monumental impact that you have on your family. What you do truly matters. And I've heard, and I've said this, I would die for my kids. And I would. But my question is, will you live for them? Will you live in light of the time that you have of doing what really matters? Because, Dad, you have a huge impact. Mom, you have a huge impact. And I just believe in our society today, we need dads to really rise up. We really need dads to rise up. Where you invest your time, moms and dads, it matters. So moms and dads, listen to this. Train your kids by example to follow Jesus. I want your kids to see you opening up God's word on a regular basis. I want you to your kids to see you pray daily and understand why you're doing it, and you'll have those conversations. Dads, I want to challenge you to be the first to stand up and lead your family in prayer around the dinner table and in your home. Pray with your kids at night, dads. Be the one who says, guess what? Yes, tomorrow morning we are going to church. You know why? Because it's a priority that matters. Age-appropriate teaching matters. We're going to be there because it matters. Don't miss the value of being a time manager. It impacts more than your time. Another statistic. Did you realize, this really hurts my feelings as an athlete, but there's a 0.296%, less than 3% chance of your child becoming a professional athlete. It's way less than 3%. Way less. And honestly, I've seen your kids. They're not going to make it. Oh, that was fun. But seriously, the odds are so stacked against them. But can I tell you, there's a 100% chance that every one of your kids that you love will stand one day eyeball to eyeball with the God who loves them and that created them. And they have an eternity waiting for them, either separated from God or with the God that created them and loves them. What you and I do with our time matters. It goes far beyond just my life. So here's my question to you. Are you saying yes and no to the best things? In light of wisdom, in light of what God's word said, are you saying yes to the right things and no to not the best things? In light of what really matters, what drives your decisions? Are you thinking like a steward of your time, or are you thinking like an owner? Are you thinking like, hey, listen, here's what's crazy. You would think the last thing I would give is my time, because that's the only thing I can't get more of. I can learn and develop more talent. I can go to work and make more money. But we're stingier oftentimes with our money and our talent than we are our time, and it's the one thing we can't get back. Are we being wise? Which means to me that just as important it is, and I make to-do lists all the time, but it wasn't until about 15 years ago that I started making a don't-do list. And when you realize that you're a manager of your time and you realize that not everything matters as much as the other things, it only makes sense to make a don't-do list. When you focus on what God has created you for and you realize that this life is on this earth is temporary, you only have so much time, then not everything deserves equal importance of how I invest or spend my time. We can't have more time. But you know what? When you decide and you follow God's wisdom and you realize what really matters, and then you start making decisions based on what you really value, and what you value matches what God values because you're following his wisdom, that's where the fewer and fewer regrets come from of how you and I spend our time. Let's look at number four. As a steward of my time, I need to balance work and rest. Balance work and rest. How many days did it take God to create the world? Six. What did he do on the seventh day? He rested. It wasn't because God was wore out. God was trying to set an example for you and I that we should not be all about work and not rest. I heard an old saying a long time ago. I've never forgotten it. It's an old Indian proverb that he that thinketh he's bright by burning the candle at both ends is not as bright as he thinks he is. If you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. Listen, none of us were built just to work. You got to have balance between work and rest. I told you last year my story when I went away and I was off for 10 weeks because I had mentally hit a wall. It was because I was exhausted. You thought I just work on Sunday. But my brain, it's not that big, but it goes all fast. And it's going all the time. And I realized that I wasn't giving myself proper rest because I didn't think I could, because I couldn't shut my mind down. And I realized God's going to say, it's going to shut down one way or the other. Do I have it down perfectly today? No. Am I better than I was? Yes. Do I have my moments and my days and my weeks? Of course I do. God doesn't want us just to be lazy and sit around, but he also wants us to rest. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. That's what Proverbs 10 says. There's got to be a balance here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The way the world rests and the way God wants us to rest is different. I need to rest in his presence. I need to trust him. I need to be resting by putting his words in my heart, in my mind, and so do you. There's just a couple other verses on time management. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. God, so we can do things more wise, like you are wise and not like the world. Psalm 31, but I am trusting you, O Lord, saying you are my God. My future is in your hands. That is an absolute true statement. Your future is in his hands. But are you really following him with your time and your talent and your treasures? I think every night, you know what would be a great prayer for us to kind of add to our nightly routine? God, thank you so much for another day of life. When's the last time you thanked him for a day? I appreciate the fact, God, that you saw me through another day. And hopefully a day where I used your wisdom and focused on what really mattered. And every tomorrow that I'm gifted, it's a brand new day with new possibilities. It's a brand new day to decide which ladder I'm going to climb. In light of what really matters, God, before I even start my day, I'm going to start with prayer and say, God, please guide me with your wisdom today. Which means I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to open up your word and actually look at wisdom before I go about my day. That's what a wise person does, right? And Lord, remind me that I'm a manager today of my time, of my talent, my resources, the people that you put around me, my own family. I'm a manager of everything you've given me, and I want to be wise. Speaking of resources, last week I shared for the first time this idea of gift it with love. And part of this was very strategic because one of the ways that we kind of grip the world's grip on us is by doing something that's opposite of that. And one of the things that's driven me nuts for years and years and years as a Christ follower is Christmas, which is God's, right? We celebrate as Jesus' birthday. The gift from God to the world came as a baby to grow up to be crucified as Savior. That we have all these celebrations and the birthday child doesn't really get anything. And then it's like, what do you give the God who really has everything? Well, you give him things that touches his heart. You invest in ways that will make an impact in people. And so this year we're doing something a little different because there's some things that we've wanted to do here as a church that since COVID and economies and all that, we've not been able to do that we really believe will enhance people's experience when they come to Crossroads. And we believe that God is going to continue to change lives here for eternity. And so we're giving you an opportunity, us as a church family, a way to honor him and his birthday by giving to do some things that will impact people for eternity. So there's three things that we're going to hopefully purchase with a special offering that we're going to take on December the 10th, which is 2 weeks from today. And we've set a goal of 15,000. I know I'm getting ahead of where it is, but That's easily doable if we redirect some of our even Christmas budget towards his birthday anyway, right? And what we're going to purchase with those is, first of all, a defibrillator. We've got a medical response team at Crossroads, but we don't have a defibrillator. And if something happened to somebody, God forbid, seconds can mean the difference between life and death. And so we've got people trained and will be trained to use that, but we want to have it here on site. And so that's one of the things we're going to do because people matter. The second thing that we're going to do because people matter is we've never completed the lobby with furniture, seating, where you can gather with friends and family afterwards, where a mom or has to take a kid out of here, go up and get their kid from Kid Crossing, and they don't want to miss the rest of service. And we've got it piped in out there, but there's not enough seating because commercial furniture that will take the wear and tear of people is pretty expensive. And so that's one of the things we're doing. And then here in the auditorium, just to enhance the experience, because there's things that we often want to put up on a different screen, but we've only got one screen. It was designed to have a big screen on that side and a big screen on that side. And so we're going to hopefully purchase two TVs, big screen TVs that many of us have in our homes, but we're going to do it in God's house so that God can utilize that for other people. And so on December the 10th, we're just going to give a special offering above your regular tithe. For those of you that choose to participate, I believe together we can easily do this, and you can make it on your memo line, gift it with love. You can bring it in an envelope and drop it in the black box, gift it with love, and we'll add all those gifts together, and we will do what we can to honor God with these things. So thanks for considering that. I want to close this way. Speaking of gifting it with love. If nothing else I've said today has really hit home with you, I pray that this does. This story is about a young attorney who wrote this down because it was his story. This young attorney said, "The gift that I got one Christmas from my dad was the greatest Christmas gift I've ever received." He said, "My dad gave me this small wrapped box, and when I opened it, what was inside was a note. And here's what the note read. Son, this year, I will give you 364 hours, 1 hour after dinner every day of the year. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll go where you want to go. We'll play whatever you want to play. But every day this year, you get 1 hour, just you and I, after dinner." This young attorney said, "My dad not only kept his promise of that gift by giving me 1 hour every day, but every year since, at Christmas, one of the gifts I receive is another note where he re-gifts me that same hour." You know what he said? It made him realize that God gives us an amazing present every day that you wake up. And normal people don't realize the gift that time is. And oftentimes it goes unappreciated or taken for granted until it's gone. Weird people know that there's no time like the present. Wise people know that today is the only day I'm guaranteed to have. And wise people know that time will one day run out. I pray that we all walk out of here today realizing the gift of time and that we use it as the wise and not as the unwise, because we can't get more of it. Can you imagine an hour a day? Which seems so crazy in some ways, like, I'll give you an hour today. I got 24 of them. But those are the things that people want back when a loved one's gone. Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God, thank you so much for your wisdom, for your word, for the truth of it. God, thanks for loving us enough to tell us the truth, for having our best in mind. And God, forgive us for our distracted way of life a lot of times, thinking we'll always have more time. God, forgive us for the times that we're making decisions and investing our time or giving our time away for things that really, truly don't have the same value of what we could be doing with our time. Forgive us for procrastinating and help us to be wherever we are, to be all there. And to be all there in the places and with the priorities that truly matter. If you're here or you're listening today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I tell you that God's word says that right now is the time to give your life to Jesus, that today is the day of salvation. You know why he says that? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you said, yeah, you know, one day I'm going to give my life to Jesus, today is your day. How in the world could you go another day not knowing that you're in right standing with a God who loves you and created you? So if that's you, wherever you're at, make this your prayer from your heart to God's ears. Say, God, today's my day. Today's the day I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've been separated from you by my own doing, my own sin. I've hurt myself and I've hurt other people. And today you've gotten my attention and I'm doing about face. I'm repenting today and I'm putting my faith and trust in you and you alone. Jesus, come into my heart. Adopt me into your family, never to be unadopted. And from this day forward, I want to learn to love you and serve you and manage what you've given me. I want to bring honor and glory to you. I want to be a good steward of my time and my talent and my resources. And I say thanks for everything that you've given. And I don't want to take those gifts for granted another day. And I say thanks in your name. Amen.